it just has had to be a really rough time for you, Scott. What do you think just off the top of your head when you think about Greg Allman?
It's obviously, you know, it's a big thing for me. I've spent almost a decade playing in his band with him and being his music director and writing songs. But even deeper than that is, you know, as a kid, I mean, the Allman Brothers, they were my Beatles as a kid. I'm 40, so I was raised in the late 80s and early 90s at Allman Brothers concerts and watching them on VH1 and listening to them on the radio. So it was a dream come true to work with him, and he did not disappoint.
How did you get asked to be part of his band?
Jay Collins, my old friend, I was playing guitar in his band about 11, 12 years ago, and it took a couple of years, but he finally got me an audition to go sit in with the Allman Brothers. I live in New York City. It's my adopted home. I've been here about 20 years. So they were playing in Camden, New Jersey, and I went over with Jay in about 2008. I think it was the summer of 2008. I sat in on a couple songs. Greg and I just really hit it off, and that's where we started.
Who was in the band at the time? Was that was Warren Haynes involved then? Or
yeah, in 2008, the Allman Brothers was the last draft, you know, with Derek and Warren and O'Teal, along, of course, with J-Mo and Butch and Greg and Mark Quinones.
I can't even imagine what kind of... You know, you're going in to see, okay, am I good enough to be with this band? How did you even prepare for that?
I was raised by a musician, around musicians. When I was a teenager, I'm from Michigan, but I spent my teenage years in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I grew up on a very, very rich music scene in Milwaukee in the 90s. I mean, we had our local musicians were like Hubert Sumlin, Luther Allison, and Buddy Miles. So I grew up playing in those bands and doing like real Chitwin Circuit tours. And when I was a kid, and I was going to High School of the Arts also, where there was quite a rich jazz program. So, you know, I was steeped in musicians, but rewinding back to being 10, 11, 12 and seeing the Allman Brothers and Stevie Ray Vaughan and people like that. When I saw those bands, they were the bands who, you know, they were my gateway drug to the masters. And then lucky me, by the time I'm in my mid-teens, I was playing with the guys who influenced them. And shortly before I auditioned for Greg, I had just started a relationship working with Levon Helm and his daughter Amy, and that was also because of Jay Collins, because he played with Levon. Actually, Levon was his father-in-law as well.
Oh, wow.
So I felt like I'd had some preparation, because when I met Greg, immediately it was like hanging out with those older musical masters. The same vibe with all those guys. I mean, it's, first of all, they're all fans first. You know, when a musician is truly great, they're truly humble and they're a student of their craft. And Greg was absolutely no exception on that.
Hearing you say that sort of gave me chills, because you think about, we've just lost Tom Petty, and what made Tom Petty. I think you just sort of put your thumb right on exactly what it is that made them such regular people. One of us, right?
Well, this is the task for those of us left behind as well. Don't forget. I mean, it's quite a responsibility we all have to protect the music and figure out how to move it forward, especially to do it without the support of the music industry. So
yeah, no, you're right. Well, let's start talking about Laid Back. I mean, the fact that we're continuing this for Allman Brothers fans, for people that don't even know enough about it, this is the way you continue on. And you've got several different dates in different places, but let's talk first about Atlanta. You're coming here October 14th, and the lineup, and what is your job as far as, we're going to hear Greg Allman's new album in its entirety, which is extraordinary.
This all started with the Laid Back Festival, which of course Greg started with his longtime manager and buddy Michael Lehman, who's still running it. Right before Greg passed, I mean, we all spent, I got to spend some really quality time with him. And over the years, we've been talking about his legacy and how this festival, the Laid Back Festival, tied into that. And he actually instructed all his people to have not only my own band, which we just did a set at Jones Beach with Steve Winwood and Jackson Brown, but he also made it clear to me and everyone else that he wanted his own band to participate in the Laid Back Festival. And I thought they did a great job choosing Atlanta, of course. Georgia is the home of everything Allman Brothers. It's the spiritual home of their music and the nexus of it. So it's an incredible honor to do it. And we were asked, as the Greg Allman Band, and we are the band that played on the album on Southern Blood, as well as we were also his live band. So it's our first time playing together since Greg passed away. Our last show with Greg was last October in Atlanta at the Laid Back Festival.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's our first reunion since we lost Greg. So there'll be some emotions of that. And then they asked us to perform the record, and I'll be singing about half the album. I did write two of the songs on the album, and I would also sing with Greg on the show regularly. So I think people who come to the shows know me also as a singer and songwriter. So we're going to be performing half the record with me singing it, and then we're also, we have some good friends. I invited Junior Mack from J-Mo's band, and Lamar Williams Jr., who's a local in Atlanta, wonderful singer, who was singing in Les Brères, which was a side project with Butch Trucks and J-Mo and Mark Quinones and O'Teal and Jack Pearson. So Lamar will be coming, and Junior, they're each going to sing a couple songs off Southern Blood, and then we're going to cap it off with Devin Allman singing a couple of his dad's well-known hits and getting us warmed up for, I believe, Lynyrd Skynyrd goes on right after us. So we'll make sure we get the energy up as much as we can.
Oh, wow.
So, Scott, just to clarify, so is Devin singing Southern Blood tracks as well, or is he just going to do some of Greg's other songs?
He'll be playing a couple surprise hits and closing out the set. The Greg Allman Band will be performing Southern Blood, and then, like I said, we'll have a couple special guests that I brought on board from the Allman family, Junior Mack and Lamar Williams. They were two singers who Greg really loved. For those two and for I to be doing it, I think it's a real honor to be performing the album in its entirety.
Speaking of the album, so, you know, we had talked to Don Was and to Michael when the album first came out just about the recording process. But as one of the musicians who were, you know, was so closely working with Greg on it, I mean, what was it like for you being in the studio with him, you know, kind of knowing that this was going to be his final legacy?
Well, I was one of a small group of people who knew that he had received a terminal diagnosis and that, in fact, he had been beating the clock. I mean, they didn't give him much time, and he actually got an extra 3 or 4 years out of his life.
That's something. Wow.
So that was weighing heavily on me, but it wasn't something that we were really able to share with everybody involved. But I think everyone had picked up on that, certainly. But, you know, I always say, you know, a lot of people, of course, have been asking me, because the album is extremely heavy and very ballad heavy. People have picked up on that, been asking me, so it must have been so intense. And, you know, I've always said, like, you know, making great records, making great music, it's what you do while you're waiting for the barbecue to arrive, you know? I mean that in the most dead serious way. When you're making music, you're in the moment, and you are feeling and pouring out your soul at its highest level. That's the goal, right? You don't always get there, but that's where you're trying to get. You're trying to get to a totally zen, spiritual, creative space as a group, as a band.
Yes.
Communicating with each other. Then the music stops, and trust me, it was all laughs. It was all fun. It was a blast making this record. And I know that price sounds crazy to people, but that's just how great music is always made. If we went in and we all talked every day about how heavy this was and how serious this was, I mean, we would never made it through it. I even remember we did Going, Going, Gone, and we were listening to a playback of it. And that's a pretty emotional track, man. We got to the end of the playback, and Greg kind of turned to me and whispered, it's kind of on the nose, that one, huh?
You know? Aww.
But then we laughed about it because it's like, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, we're musicians. That's what we do. I mean, our job is to conjure emotion and to provide an outlet for ourselves and for the listeners. That is the ultimate goal, for them to draw their own interpretation. So I think the music speaks for itself. But working with him was a blast. It was fun. It was all laughs. It was all enjoyment. It was hard work, too, but it was very rewarding on all levels.
What did you learn from Greg?
It's a long list, because he trusted me with so many roles. You know, he was actually a fan of my singing and songwriting, which I can't even, you know, when I say it, I can't even believe it's coming out of my mouth, because he's one of my heroes. And it was so humbling and such an honor for him to cover my music. I mean, he recorded my song, Love Like Kerosene, twice. He did it on Back to Making Live and Southern Blood. We wrote two songs together. One of them is My Only True Friend, which, of course, leads off the record. And the other one I'm going to be putting on my own album, Saving Grace, that's coming out next year. We just spent a lot of time together, and as a songwriter and as a singer, he did have so much wisdom, but it was stuff that was very, it isn't stuff that, you know, you can tell somebody to do or write it down.
Mm-hmm.
His vibe was just, you know, it was exactly what you saw when you saw him live. He was that, and it would turn on like a light switch, and I always was just so amazed by it. It was like a card trick every time he would go from being this lovely, you know, jovial, polite, quiet, humble, and incredibly wise human being, but very reserved. And then he would go on stage, and he would be, no matter how sick he was or what he was going through, he would be a lion when he came on stage through his voice. The reason I was always attracted to the Allman Brothers, besides blues and soul and jazz music being the ground floor of their music, which is the key to real rock and roll, is that they were not about artifice. I mean, they were pure channels playing music, and that's what their fans would expect, and that's what they gave them. And I think that that's an extremely honorable way to carry yourself through a creative art.
And Melissa and I, when we were talking to both Michael and Don Was and Galadriel, you'd realize how much his fans meant to him. And really and truly, that is such a gift to us. You don't really think of that from the artist's perspective, but Greg Allman, everything he put out there, you realize that he cared more about his fans and playing live and giving new music than almost anything in his life.
Yeah, and he was also a key part of protecting and celebrating his brother's legacy.
Yes.
I mean, that was what keeping the Allman Brothers going all those years was about. Of course, our band was a departure for him. I mean, when they retired the Allman Brothers and we went full-time, we had about a year or two where we actually did it for real as the Greg Allman Band, as opposed to a band that was doing 60 to 80 shows a year. You know, we were ramping up to try to do over 100 to even 150 was projected at one point. He really loved the Greg Allman Band. I mean, he was, of course, quoted in press countless times saying it was his favorite band. He was so proud of it. And he did handpick everyone in the band, and I was honored to assist him in doing that and occasionally point him in the right direction and occasionally take his direction. And it was a really great experience. I can't wait to see the guys again. And I should also mention, while we're talking about the legacy of the band, my own band, Scott Gerard and the Brickyard Band, are playing in Macon, Georgia on Thursday, October 12th at the Cox Capitol Theater. It's a very special concert because we are, our friend Scott Rosenbaum, who's a wonderful filmmaker from New York City, did a concert film of my solo show that I did here in New York a couple weeks after Greg's funeral. That concert film is going to be premiered on Thursday, October 12th, and then right after, my band is going to play two sets, and a portion of the proceeds from that show will be donated to the Big House Museum, the Allman Brothers Museum in Macon, and the Big House Museum, and this is the cherry on top, are bringing Duane Allman's 57 Gold Top Les Paul and Marshall Amplifier to the show for me to play during the live
show. Wow.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
So that's Thursday, just a couple days before the Laid Back performance in Atlanta. If you're in Atlanta or Macon, come on down.
Make your way there.
Thursday, October 12th at the Cox. I tell you, man, it's really special for me. This is the first I've played in Macon, you know, dozens of times with Greg Allman, and had some wonderful hangs there with him and, of course, Richard Brent, all the great people at the Big House Museum. But this is the first time that I'm actually flying my band from New York City down there to play a show. And also premiering this concert film, which is really special to me because this concert I did in New York, which, by the way, was also a Big House event a couple weeks after Greg's burial last June, it was a very emotional experience. And in the film, I do a lot of storytelling. I tell a lot of road stories. I tell in-depth stories about our songwriting together of My Only True Friend and selecting songs for the record. And the movie is also like kind of like an inside peek into what being on the road with Greg was like and what the creation of Southern Blood was like as well. So it's going to be a heck of a night of entertainment. You're going to get a movie and two sets of music, and we're going to play all night in the tradition, as they say.
Aww. That's awesome.
When Melissa and I were really touched to be part of the Atlanta contingency of people that are in the media for Greg Allman's funeral, what was your thought about that? I thought it was just a beautiful, beautiful tribute as far as what happened at Rose Hill.
Greg, you know, I have two small kids. He never got to meet my baby, Lewin, because he's only 7 months old. But aww, he knew my son, Jack, who's 5 years old and was friendly with my wife. And Greg was just a really... a really good friend of my family, as well as being a boss and being a musical mentor and a hero. I should also mention, you know, a couple weeks before he passed away, I actually spent a couple days with him at his house, and we had a really special time together, just the two of us. But when it came to the funeral, I knew that I was going to want to bring my family. So I flew down with my wife, two small kids, and the service, I can't even describe what the vibe of it was like. I mean, he had Miles Davis's kind of blue playing in the background while everyone was speaking. I think that says everything about how heavy he was. It's just having flamenco sketches playing in the background, you know, while everyone's speaking, and then transitioning into, we all sang Will the Circle Be Unbroken, and Bonnie Bramlett got up and started riffing on it, and you know, and then we all walked out to Little Martha, kind of like the way you would do at the end of an Allman Brothers concert. So the ceremony, you know, you could tell that he had been, you know, at the end of it, I was like, this, he planned this out, like, completely step by step, you know. And I honestly, from there, it was all about, you know, hanging out and hanging out with the family and the extended family. And honestly, that day at the Big House, we had a family-only event, and I got to meet, well, Galadriel Allman is a friend, and just... she's a wonderful writer. She's an incredible human being. She's Duane Allman's daughter, for those who don't know. But her mom was there, and it was the first time I ever met Dwayne's widow, and I had an absolutely incredible time hanging with them. And then the next day, all our families were hanging out, and I just felt like at his funeral, I started to understand that it wasn't just a job in terms of how I was viewed by the family. Like, I actually felt like I was part of it, and I started to realize how he had talked to all of them about working with me, and it felt really incredible to have that, to be embraced by these people, because they're a special tribe. But honestly, it's like, it's so much who I am and how I was raised that it's kind of surreal as I've gotten to know everyone throughout the Almonds musical family. So I really just felt so grateful to be part of that. I was back in Macon doing a press event at the Big House for Southern Blood with Devin and Chank Middleton, Greg's longtime friend and assistant, Mark Quinones. And we went to Greg's grave. It was the first time I'd been to the grave since the burial. A fan had actually put a Bible verse down and painted a rock. And on the rock, it said, "My only true friend." They painted that on it. And that happened a couple weeks ago. And that's when I realized, like, okay, this ride was absolutely incredible. It's like, you know, I wrote that song with him and I buried him. And now, you know, it's being dedicated to him on his gravesite. You know, the guy had a very poetic life, and being along for the ride was just incredible.
It's so interesting talking to you, because both Melissa and I, again, we've had many chances to talk to Greg, and he obviously picked you to be part of his life for a reason. You're so warm. You appreciate being part of the Allman Brothers, literally.
Well, it's all in the music, and he would tell you that himself. I mean, he was a musician. He was a real musician. Some people pick up on aspects of him as a rocker, and I mean, there's that element to him. But I think in some of the remembrance of Greg in the weeks and months after his passing, there was a lot of emphasis from people about he was a badass and a rock star. But there was some of that image. I mean, he certainly had the tattoos and the Harleys, and he had his years living fast and hard, but that's not who he was at all. He loved music and his family more than anything. More than anything. And that was always the case. He loved to go fishing. He had this collection of these amazing little dogs. You know, I mean, he loved animals. He loved nature. He was just a really soulful, poetic human being. And he was not a rock star by any measure, in my estimation of him, by getting to know who he actually was. And I think what I'm just trying to get out there, because my own record, Saving Grace, was supposed to come out this year. I mean, it was done a long time ago, but I'm saving it for next year, because I'm trying to spend this year helping to promote Southern Blood, but also to help remember Greg. And I feel like a big responsibility I have is that I want people to know that he was a true musician. He was fully dedicated to that, and that the whole rock star thing and the rock star lifestyle, whatever there was of that, it's all artifice. That's not what was really down underneath his skin was something much, much deeper. And I think you hear it every time he steps to a mic. It becomes clear that it's the real deal.
Absolutely. I think one of the things with the album that was so amazing to us was his voice. His voice was so great on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we were thinking, if it was going to be weakened by the fact that he knew that his time was coming to an end, but it wasn't at all. It wasn't weak at all. It's a very powerful record.
Well, thank you, and we're very proud of it. I mean, those vocals, by the way, if you don't know, I mean, those vocals that Greg Allman has on that record are all live. I mean,
Yeah. They're
live with the band on the floor. I mean, he actually wanted to re-sing most of those vocals. And in fact, I even was invited to Savannah at one point to do an overdub session with him, where he wanted me to help him, you know, get through it. But unfortunately, his voice was the thing that was most directly affected first, mm-hmm. when his cancer started to really take him. And it was a cruel aspect of how he left the world that, you know, his voice, his instrument was actually affected. Honestly, and all credit to Don Was and Bob Clearmountain, who mixed the record, but Don in particular, of course, for pulling it together, because I'm not really sure that without his guidance and technical mastery and wisdom, we could have had a finished Southern Blood come out. So
really,
you know, we were lucky to have it.
I think it's just a beautiful piece, and I can't wait to see it done live.
Thanks. Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to having a family reunion, and it's going to be a heck of a week, that's for sure.